from San Diego, California, it's the Frugal Life Podcast with your host, Ricky Hershey.
Welcome to the Frug Life. I have some interesting news I want to cover today. And now, normally, I don't really cover news on the podcast. One, because I'm not really a journalist. And two, because I like my information to be, like, evergreen and to stay good forever. But there was some interesting things that happened recently that I wanted to touch base on, and that I don't think I've really heard anyone else talk about. So the first thing I want to talk about is something that I've heard people mention before, and that's two Fed presidents resigned after criticism of their trading activity. So this, I think, is a little unusual. As you can probably guess, people that work with the Federal Reserve have quite a bit of inside information, and if they use that knowledge to trade, they may have a significant advantage in the market. And that kind of advantage would be frowned upon because, you know, it's someone using their position in a way that is, well, it seems like a misuse of people's trust. And because of this, actually, it seems that there is a chance Jerome Powell, the current chair of the Federal Reserve, may not be reappointed. Now, that's only like a 21-22% chance of happening, but it's still interesting that the markets think it's that high. And that as of October 23rd on this website called Kalishi. So Kalishi is a betting market. In essence, you get to try to predict whether things will happen in the future. I haven't really heard of this one in particular. But yeah, in general, betting markets are fairly efficient, meaning that the odds given on the website are likely pretty accurate. So all that was interesting, but actually not the big piece of news I wanted to talk to you about today. And that is President Joe Biden's pick for the comptroller of the currency. Now, let's take a step back, actually, and look at what is the OCC first. So banks have a number of regulators. So I work at a bank, and the regulators that regulate my bank are the SEC, because the bank is publicly traded, and since it's publicly traded, it has publicly traded stock, it's regulated by the SEC. It's regulated by the FDIC, because the bank is FDIC insured, so we have to report to them. And lastly, because it's also a bank, it reports to the OCC. So if you couldn't tell, banks have a lot of regulators, and the OCC is just one of them. Anyways, Joe Biden has announced intentions to nominate Sola Omarova to be the comptroller of the currency. In other words, the person in charge of the OCC, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency. Now, the odds that she will actually get through the political process and become the comptroller of the currency is questionable and not really my place to opine on. But I did look at some of her work, and I thought it was very interesting, and it's not something I've heard anyone talking about. She published a paper called The People's Ledger, and I want to read a few excerpts of it to you. After decades of rising inequality, systemic instability, and relentless concentration of economic power, ordinary Americans are demanding a greater say in the distribution and use of financial resources. The Reddit-fueled GameStop rally, the dramatic rise of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, the universal basic income, and public banking movements, these are all discrete manifestations of a broader quest for more equitable and inclusive modes of finance. And she goes on to explain one of her specific ideas, which in essence is that the Federal Reserve will offer bank accounts directly to individuals. Instead of having a bank account with your local credit union or your bank, instead you could have an account with the Federal Reserve directly. And not just that, her article envisions the ultimate end state whereby central bank accounts fully replace rather than compete with private bank deposits. So not only will the Federal Reserve offer bank accounts in this idea under the People's Ledger, it advocates that no private bank can have those deposits either. Now, this show isn't meant to be political. And there is a lot of criticism on the right about this choice of candidate. And a lot of people are calling her radical. And in a sense of the word, that definitely is true. This is a very radical idea. This would change finance a great deal. It would change your personal finances a great deal, which is why I thought it would be fitting to talk about it a little on the show. It would also change the banking industry quite a bit because, you know, that's how banks have money now, that they get deposits and then they subsequently loan out a portion of that money and they keep some of it as a reserve. And so removing deposits entirely from banks would just change the way the whole banking system operates. Now, I'm going to offer some hesitations about this plan, and my reasons are pretty broad. It's not that I don't think the Federal Reserve should never offer, you know, private demand deposit accounts to individuals. That could be a good idea, I'm not sure. But what I don't like is that they won't have any competition. Competition, I think, is what makes things better. For example, different banks compete for your business. And because of that, some banks will offer higher interest rates on deposits, and people who care about that sort of thing will go to them. And banks keep their rates competitive because they want to keep your business. And so in that competitive environment where people are able to change, you, the consumer, come off better. And if there was only one choice, they could offer whatever rate they want and you'd kind of be stuck with it. Now, there's probably a lot more nuance to her plan. That was just one very, very small piece of her 71-page article. But when something so dramatic is proposed by a possible government official, I think it is worth talking about and worth mentioning. All right, let's take a quick break and we will be right back. So as I was preparing this episode, one issue I ran into is that I actually had no idea how to say Sala's name. And so I even looked up a video with her name in it, and here is a clip of what it said in that video.
And we are really honored and delighted to be here with Sala.
So that didn't help me figure out how to say this name, needless to say. I thought I would also include a quick clip from her in that same video. So here that is.
So today I'm going to basically kind of talk about two issues. One is, why is it that we need a new public institution like the National Investment Authority? And the other issue is, what would that National Investment Authority look like, at least at this point in my work on kind of developing the design for it?
And what she's referencing in that clip, I may get some facts wrong here because this is a new area for me, but basically she's proposing something called the NIA, which would have public investment in projects that the private sector may not be interested in financing. And an example of that would be planet-saving innovations. So this is probably a whole topic in and of itself, but basically the idea is that the private sector may not be incentivized to do some activities. Specifically, if a project has benefit that is felt by many people, but it's difficult to collect that money, it may be necessary for public funds to take care of that. For example, a classic textbook economic example is a fireworks show. The provider of the fireworks has to pay for all of the fireworks, and then anyone who's in the general area can just look up into the sky and derive the benefits of the firework show. So in some ways, it's difficult to charge for the firework show because people can just consume it for free. Likewise, if you want to reduce pollution in the planet, that benefits everyone, and it may be difficult to collect money for that up front. But I will link some resources below, one to the YouTube video that I just pulled some audio from, as well as another website I looked at. Anyways, a few parting thoughts. One thing I would encourage you to do, that even if something seems new and crazy and foreign, is to take a good look at it and consider if it's really good or bad. Just because something is radically different doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. Keeping things the way they were because that's the way they've always been is a fallacious line of thinking, so it's always good to question things. And two would be to consider, Is increased involvement like this a good thing or a bad thing? Anyways, would love to hear some of your thoughts on this as well. I hope this episode has been informative to you. I hope you have a great week, and as always, stay frugal.